This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Want to know what's going on in your neck of the woods and learn the history and the people behind the events that you love across the state? Get to know the real Mississippi. Check out MPB Think Radio's Next Stop Mississippi podcast on all platforms or on the MPB Public Media app. Welcome to AutoCorrect, helping you correct your auto problems. Our host is Coach Charlie Melton, ASC Certified Master Technician. I'm Jermaine Flood. Hello, Coach.
Hello. How you doing today?
Doing good. You looking a little tan there, sir.
Well, I've been out floating in the Caribbean Ocean for about 7 days, and I'm back and ready to go.
How was that?
Well, that was great, but as soon as I got back, I had to tear a car down and fix it for the person to have the next day.
So were you well-rested enough to be able to make that happen?
I was well-rested. They got their car back, and she's just as happy as she can be.
Good. So you weren't in a car. You were on a boat.
I was on a ship.
Okay.
Norwegian breakaway.
And awesome.
We just, for 7 days, just relaxed. I went to Cozumel.
Yeah, ports of call. Come on.
I went to Costa Maya. I went to Honduras.
You know, yeah.
Ate way too much. Had a great time.
That sounds amazing. I love cruises. I went on one, so I know it was really great to kind of get off of the road and get onto some water.
Did not even have my phone with me.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm glad to have you back today. So today, Coach, we'll be answering emails. You have a plethora of emails that have come in, and we need to get to most of them. So if everybody out there has sent an email, this may be your day.
This may be the day.
To hear your email answered. So, Coach, you know I've got a definition. For autocorrect emails.
Define email.
Yeah, I was going to say, define autocorrect
email. Not just email, Abram. Autocorrect emails. So the definition of this is any correspondence that comes in with a question to correct their automobile directed at Coach Charlie is usually what that definition is, and or correspondences at Coach Charlie that have to deal with their displeasure with his lookout on EVs. No, his outlook on EVs.
Well,
and that's the definition.
I like both of those definitions.
That's the definition. So if you've got any questions, our email address is auto@mpbonline.org. So I want to get started. Let's just jump dead off into these. The first one is a really good one because we hear about you always fixing on cars. So the question is, how do you maintain like the cosmetic portion of the car, like the beautification? So this one says, "Dear Coach, I need your help with an issue I'm facing." People want to know these things about you, Coach. "My car paint has been stained with pine tree sap, both new and older spots. Do you have any recommendations on how to remove them? Interestingly, I've discovered that hand sanitizer for COVID-19 is more effective than Bug Be Gone. Thanks in advance for your assistance." That's coming from Dave.
Well, really what it is, pine sap is real sticky and it's really like adhesive on there.
Yeah.
And so if you get some type of adhesive cleaner from the auto parts store, that will take it off pretty good. You know, Bug Be Gone, like you said, that would do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even try a vinegar concoction.
Okay.
You know, and that would take and get it out. But what happens if you leave the sap on there, it takes the clear coat off of the paint. Now you're going to run your paint if you do not get it off.
And then when you wash it, you get those little white spots.
Right.
And that's now the paint gone, right?
That's right. Well, what it is not the paint gone. It's the clear coat on the paint
that
comes off of
it. Okay. Now, here's my question. If I had to ask you anything, where does Coach take his car to get it cleaned? Does Coach clean his own car? Do you wash your own?
I had to wash my own car. Every now and then, I will take my wife's car to a car wash that I can run through if it's a quick thing.
Yeah.
But I had to clean my own car.
Do you have a favorite tire shine, or is there something you recommend there?
There's really nothing favorite. I just, believe it or not, I do wash my car with Dawn dishwashing detergent.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because it does take the grease off of it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you have wax and all on it, it stays on there.
Yeah.
So it does a good job. I've never had a problem with it.
I knew you had a home remedy for that.
That's right.
Okay, let's get into our next email. This one is coming from Miriam. She says, I have a Chevrolet Spark 2016 that was recalled in 2019 right before I got it. I don't know if the issue I have with it is why it's been recalled, but sometimes I have it where it jerks off if I brake at a red light. It takes a while to accelerate after. What does that sound like? Also, my air conditioning doesn't work.
So it sounds like you have a hesitation in that vehicle, but the first thing I would do, contact the dealership, see what the recall is on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. If you have not had that recall fixed or you don't know it's been fixed, they can put the VIN number in and they can tell you if that recall has been taken care of.
Okay.
Because usually when one hesitates, you know, we use injectors and all that. I think more of a performance problem could be fuel or air. So we just need to look at that and see what that recall is first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the air conditioner, we were going to have an air conditioner show today, but we changed it to next week.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We really didn't need it because it was cool.
But, of course, today it is. Definitely here in the Tri-County.
But when you said your air conditioner don't work, there's many things that can cause the air conditioner not to work. If it's the blower motor, if it's the leak in the air conditioner system itself. So there's a lot of different things. So you'd have to be a little bit more specific on that air conditioning problem.
Right. And then with it being a 2016 with a 2019 recall, there's no telling. It could maybe not be related to the recall itself.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The first thing you need to do is get with the dealership, give them your VIN number and see what the recall is and see if it's been replaced or been taken care of.
Okay. All right. Let's get into another one. This one is from Theo. He says, would like to get your opinion on this. Years ago, I was told that you shouldn't mix tap water with antifreeze because the coolant will bond with the water tighter than the minerals in the water and force them out and act as a grinding agent in the system. Evidence of which is the white dust you'll find when removing a hose from an engine that has used tap water mixed with coolant. I started only using distilled water mixed with coolant years ago, and on any water pump that I have installed, have yet to have to replace one again.
Well, you know, there's really not somebody telling you what type of water to use with antifreeze.
Right.
Really what it is, you can go to the store and you can buy that 50-50 antifreeze already pre-mixed. And you pay $14 or $15 for a gallon of that, and you pay $14, $15 to a gallon of concentrated antifreeze.
Okay.
You put tap water in it or distilled water. You can do either one. And I couldn't quite understand why somebody would go get a 50-50 mix when you mix a 50-50 with concentrate where you can get 2 gallons to 1 gallon for the same price.
Okay.
I'm not quite figured that out yet.
Okay.
But to tell you about the water that you put in it, I've never had a problem with it, tap water ever, and that's all I've ever used, you know, because most people are not going to go buy distilled water to put in their radiator.
Right. Would distilled be better, though?
Well, once again, we can say distilled water has no minerals in it.
Okay.
And so there are no deposits that can be deposited in the engine, you're right.
Got it. All right, Aaron, what you thinking?
Would water, like, mess up the pipes or anything, though? Would it cause, like, rust or anything?
If you do strictly water, you need to have a 50-50 concentrate of antifreeze to make coolant. That is the concentration. And anytime you put water, just pure water, in a vehicle, that means that in the wintertime it's going to freeze. And the summertime it's going to boil a little easier.
Okay.
I've done that before.
What, so have your put, water freeze?
Just put water in there.
Well, believe
in like the fall time, so I got away with it. So.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, I was telling you, at the first of the show, I had to fix the vehicle. Well, that was the reason I had to fix the vehicle, because they put nothing but water in the coolant system, and it rusted out a pipe. And the pipe was under the intake. I had to remove all the intake, and it messed up the gaskets on the intake. And so that had to all be replaced due to nothing but water.
Yeah. So make sure you get the right thing to put in there.
Coolant 50-50 mix.
Coolant 50-50 mix, everybody. Now, if you've got a question, send your emails to auto@mpbonline.org. Today, we're answering those emails. Is your car under recall? I'll tell you how you can find out next. You're listening to AutoCorrect with Coach Charlie Melton. I'm Jermaine Flood. If you want even more AutoCorrect, find our podcast on all podcast platforms for your smart device. AutoCorrect is heard on MPB Think Radio Thursdays at 10 a.m. with a replay Saturdays at 11 a.m. Here are some recent recalls, but first, I want to start out with Coach's recall because he always has the top of the day recall.
You know, I'm always amazed at all the recalls for automobiles.
Okay.
You know, if we just thought about automobiles, can you imagine on everything else that have recalls on them? It's not just automobiles.
Yeah, it's everything.
But
stoves, refrigerators.
Right, but can you imagine all the recalls we have on automobiles that people are steady finding and fixing? Well, this morning, I think on ABC News, there was either 3.7 million or 7.2. I think it was 7.2 million cars that had a recall and they had to be parked outside. Either they were going to catch on fire or it's going to be dangerous to the individual.
Right.
But they had to be parked outside.
So this is the 7.2 million possible, you know, recalls where they all have to be parked outside.
Well, they
now.
All have to be parked outside. And that don't include the other recalls we have, but 7.2 million.
That's what I ask you all the time. And like with that, how quickly can they get to 7.2 million cars?
You know, because they don't have the parts. If you notice on recalls, sometimes they say, well, the recall comes out today, but we're not going to start fixing them until 3 months later.
Yeah.
You know, they got to get the parts. They got to get all the logistics together.
That's why I can tell you about the recall today and owners won't be notified until next month.
Once again, I'm amazed.
I know. Well, that's going to be one of them. And I will comb the internet and find that one for you all and have a link to it in our podcast description. But here's some more, Coach. You always know there's a recall for everything.
That's it.
Like you say, Kia is recalling more than 36,200 of its K9 luxury sedan and Stinger sports sedans over the risk of an engine compartment fire.
Park outside.
That's probably pointed inside of that 7.2.
I'm sure it is.
Okay, here we go. Affected vehicles include model year 2019 to 2020 K900s and 2018 to 23 Stingers equipped with the turbocharged 3.3 liter V6 engine. The issue is with the left turbocharger oil pipe and hose assembly, which may deteriorate from excess heat and leak oil. Leaking oil in the presence of high exhaust temperatures increases the risk of an engine compartment fire and can lead to injury.
That engine just sounds like it's going to catch on fire. Turbocharged like all those descriptors just sound like a fire hazard.
Well, you know, you want to take and look at the situation and look at the manufacturers. It's not just one manufacturer. It is every manufacturer.
Yeah.
If it's foreign or domestic, all of them have recalls. So when you're buying a vehicle, you just need to do your research on what type of car, what type of recalls they've had on them. Just need to be careful.
And you may not be able to get around it. Maybe
that's
you've
right
got
now.
A car that had no recalls, and then next week, welcome to your recall day.
Well, you know, I've only bought one car that had a recall, and that was the new one.
Oh, okay.
And out of all the vehicles I bought, one car.
You never had the recalls. That's because you're always looking for what you want, Coach.
One car.
You know what you like.
Jermaine, did you see how proud he was when he said
that? Like one car.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm a good pick. I mean, you're a good pick.
You need to get the information on these vehicles so you don't have all these recalls.
Right.
Because if they say park them outside, well, you didn't buy – if you got a garage on your house – and it's raining, you don't want to walk out in the rain and get in your car.
Right, that's true.
You know, so there's different things and for different folks, I reckon.
That's true. So as a fix now, dealers are replacing the left turbocharger oil pipe and hose assembly as necessary for free. That's always nice when you hear the for free. But of course, it needs to be for free.
And the inconvenience.
But yeah, Kia will begin sending owner notification letters April 26th, like I told you, about a month later. But those with further questions in the meantime can contact the company. Second up, nearly 28,500 sedans from Hyundai's Genesis luxury brand are now under recall for the risk of an engine fire.
Another park
there
outside.
There it goes. There it goes. I think this is, nope, the next one is not it. I looked ahead. Affected vehicles include model year 2019 to 2022 G70s, model year 2018 to 20 G80s, and model year 2017 to 2022 G90 sedans equipped with a turbocharged 3.3 liter V6 engine. That's the same engine.
That is the luxury brand of Kia.
Okay.
Genesis.
Do you think it has something to do with the engine?
It's the same, just with that turbo line. It has to do with that same engine. Like I say, they're the same vehicles, but Genesis is the luxury brand.
And then Kia is the
regular brand.
Okay. So exposure to high temperatures from these can cause the left turbocharger oil feed pipe to crack and leak oil again. Now, to resolve this issue, dealers are replacing the left turbocharger oil pipe for free. Hyundai will begin notifying owners May 7th. Okay, this is a different one. After issuing a recall of 105,000 SUVs over a transmission issue in February, Mercedes-Benz is back to recall more SUVs, this time over 116,000 GLE and GLS models, regarding a different issue that could lead to a fire, overheating 48 ground connection. So it's a whole nother different issue, but it can lead to a fire.
Once again, that's electrical system malfunction. Park outside.
So the concern is a ground cable lug below the passenger seat, which may become loose. As a result, the electric resistance of the 48-volt ground connection may increase, along with the temperature, increasing the risk of a fire. Affected vehicles in their model years are listed. That includes a whole list of those. So you can go to the website when I give that to you at the end to be able to see if you're included in this Mercedes-Benz recall. To resolve the issue, they are inspecting and tightening the 48 ground connection as necessary for free. They will begin notifying owners May 14th. But I notified y'all today.
Wonder if insurance covers if it catches on fire.
I don't know.
Just wonder if that happens. Since it had a recall and the recall's not fixed, who's going to be responsible? Is it going to be the manufacturer or is it going to be the insurance?
Mm.
That's one of those things to think about.
Call your insurance.
That's right.
Maybe we'll have an answer there for that.
That's
one.
That's right.
Okay, last on our recall list for today, Stellantis is issuing two separate recalls for nearly 40,000 vehicles over driver's side airbags that may not deploy in the event of a crash. Not that this is a silver lining, but it's not a fire.
It's not a fire.
Affected vehicles include model year 2016 Jeep Wrangler SUVs, model year 23 to 24 Chrysler Pacifica minivans, model year 23 to 24 Jeep Wranglers, Grand Wagoneers, and Wagoneer SUVs, model year 23 to 24 Ram 1500s, 2500s, 3500s, trucks, and 3500, 4500, 5500 cab chassis trucks, model year 2023 Chrysler Voyager minivans, model year 2023 Jeep Gladiator, Grand Cherokee, Grand Cherokee L SUVs, and model year 2023 Ram 3500 cab chassis trucks with a gross vehicle weight rating of less than 10,000 pounds. The issue with the above vehicles involves the steering column control module, which may have been improperly welded during manufacturing. A faulty steering column could prevent the driver's airbag from deploying in the event of a crash, and this can increase that injury in a crash. Separately, Stellantis issued a separate recall for nearly 110 Mopar steering column modules in the vehicles. Those specific modules weren't identified. The recall did say model year 2017 to 24 Chryslers, Jeeps, Rams were included. As a fix, dealers are replacing the steering column control module as necessary for free. Owner notification letters will be sent out May 3rd. You can find out if your car has a past recall by going to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's website, nhtsa.gov, and inputting your VIN or finding their Safer Car app. Our email address where you can send questions is auto@mpbonline.org. What's in the news? Texas will charge EV owners an extra $200 per year to make up for loss in gas tax revenue. I'll tell you more next. Thank you for listening to AutoCorrect on MPB Think Radio. Coach Charlie Melton, retired instructor from Clinton High School's automotive. He works on automotives, if I can get it out. Technology program is our expert host. I'm Jermaine Flood. I hope you've downloaded our app for your smartphone, the MPB Public Media app. In addition to listening, I'm going to get it all out. In addition, tell me, Abram, what is it?
Every time with that, in addition to listening, every time.
We're going to add it all up. In addition to listening to our show in the MPB Public Media app, you can click on the Talk to Us button and you can leave Coach Charlie a message, and Coach Charlie will answer that message and we will play that on air.
That's right. We'll take care of that right off. You know, I was thinking about a while ago when you were talking about the airbags may not come out on those Dodge vehicles.
Yeah.
Wear the seatbelt.
You know, that's the first airbag.
Yeah, that's your first airbag. Wear your seatbelt. Click it, and you'll be good to go.
And you won't get a ticket, and you won't move, hopefully, as long as the little suspension's in there is good. But, yeah, like Coach says, if your backup camera doesn't work, use those other backup cameras.
No, that rear view mirror, side mirrors.
The side mirrors.
If the airbag don't work, and I know many of you drive around with that airbag light on, I hope that you're using the seatbelt.
Make sure you click your seatbelt.
That's right.
Autocorrect is heard on MPB Think Radio Thursdays at 10 a.m. with the replay Saturdays at 11 a.m. In the news, Texas, you know, they're our neighboring state, just one over. But Texas now will charge EV owners an extra $200 per year to make up for loss in gas tax revenue.
Well, I think that's a fair deal because, like, say, EVs use the roads. It's no sense the ones that are using internal combustion engines to pay all the taxes. Okay. I think EV owners need to pay their share as well.
Right. Yeah, that's it. So under Texas Senate Bill 505, which passed May of 2023 and went into effect September of 2023, electric vehicle owners must pay an additional $200 annual registration fee to Texas State Highway Fund, the primary funding source of the state's Department of Transportation. That fee is meant to make up for EV owners not paying gasoline taxes, which are used to fund road construction and repairs in the state. Though some advocates agree that EV owners should have to pay into the highway fund, others think the current fee amount could be a burden on certain communities. And they're saying we urgently need to get more electric vehicles on the road. That's the executive director of Environment Texas. And any increased fee could create an additional barrier for Texans, and particularly more moderate to low income Texans to make the transition.
Well, somebody has to pay for the roads, and I don't feel like paying them for all by myself.
Yeah.
I think everybody should be involved. They drive on them. We drive on them. Everybody should be involved.
So that's what they're doing in Texas.
I would think Mississippi is probably going to have a law like that soon as well.
Yeah. I like to let y'all know just in case something like that pops up here in the state. But, yep, that's coming into effect in Texas. And they're all about energy saving and things like that out there. So they're always on the curb of trying to figure out how to do that.
How to do that. That's true. And so with EVs, there's a lot of things that are going to change. But, you know, I think everybody's going to be involved in paying the taxes as well.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Well, I'll include a link to this story in our show's podcast description. Today, we're answering your emails, and you can email your questions to auto@mpbonline.org. Let's get back into them, Coach. This next email is coming from Paul. He says, "Hi, Coach, this is Paul from Columbus, and I'm asking a question for my daughter. She has a 1999 CRV with 155,000 miles that she only drives occasionally. The last couple of times when she was idling for a little while and then started to drive, the RPM revved high to about 3,000. So she pulled over and stopped for a bit. She started back out and it ran fine. It also happened after she had been driving for a while. Any idea on what it could be? And is it something that is needed right away? Thanks so much." And he really loves the show with all the knowledge and all the laughs.
Well, thanks. First of all, thank you so much for sending that email in. As we think about vehicles that sit up, you know, that have not been running for a while, what happens, you know, there's a relearn curve. Every time you get in that vehicle's already learned how it's driven one way. And then if somebody else gets in it, it's driven a different way. But it's a learning curve on these vehicles day in and day out. But most likely, like I say, the RPMs went up and they came back down. It could have been something with a computer just reading. First thing I would like you to do is the check engine light on. If the check engine light on, get a scan tool put on it and see if when it revved up, did something come up on the computer.
Okay.
So that's one of those things you just got to, it's probably an electronic problem.
Uh-huh.
And I would take and put a scan tool on it. If the check engine light's not working, put the scan tool on it and see if there's code in there anyway.
Okay. Did his daughter do right by pulling over and waiting for a bit?
A lot of times if the check engine light flashes that you need to pull over. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if it's flashing, pull over. Usually if it comes on and stays on, you can make it to where you're going and then have it fixed. But the main thing is if it's revving up and you can't control how fast the engine's going, yes, pull over. Cut it off.
Yeah. Give it a minute and then try it again, man.
Usually when you turn the key off and cut it back on, it resets.
Okay. 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 Here's the next one. I want to get into this one because she emailed us 1 week, then she emailed us the next week, and then she emailed us another week. But they're all kind of included, right? So this is coming from Cabby. She says, Venza 09 will not start when brake pedal depressed. Battery is good. Wait a few minutes and press several times more and will start. Happens intermittently every few weeks sometimes on the same day. Am afraid it will not start and will be stranded. What do you think is the cause? A week later, she says, now, when the brake pedal depressed, Venza 09 will not start. Sends message to do so after several tries. It will start. What could be the cause? Need a starter? Do not want to get stranded somewhere if it does not start. What could it be? And then finally, a week later, she sent it again saying the same thing. 09 will not start when depressing the brake pedal now. Will send message to do so after several more tries. It will start. Problem's been occurring for the past 2 months occasionally. What could be the problem? Does it need a starter? Really do not want to get stranded somewhere when it fails. What is that? This is coming from KB Brian, actually.
There is a switch on that brake pedal, so it knows that you're pushing on the brake to start that vehicle. You know, so there is a switch down there, so you might want to check that switch if it does it occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, first thing I would look at, if you turn the key on, all the lights come on, the dash, mm-hmm. and it's not making no noise, then I'd say, well, we may have a loose battery cable or there may be something with the starter. But first of all, I would check, make sure that the switch underneath the brake pedal is the connection's good down there. Because like I say, even though the brake pedal itself tells the lights on the back even to shift. Mm-hmm. So the brake pedal has a lot to do with it on some of these vehicles.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that switch is good and then make sure you put a scan tool on it and see if there's an electronic problem in there.
Okay. That's a good one. All right. Next one. This one says, hi, Coach. This is coming from Michael. He says, do crank sensors need a paper spacer? Even the expensive brands don't have a spacer attached.
No, a crank sensor, they're showing you how far sometimes that spacer is how far it's supposed to be from the gear that is taking sensing.
Okay.
But no, you can't put a piece of paper in there because then it can't sense, because what it's doing is getting a magnetic field across the sensor.
Okay.
And you put a piece of paper and it's not going to get that magnetic.
It's not going to do right. Okay. Well, that's a good one. Now, the next one says, hello, Coach. Could you please tell me how to use the eco feature where my car engine shuts off at a stoplight? And does it save on gas? And does it wear on the engine? This is coming from D. And she says she has a RAV4 2021.
Most of the eco features are built into the vehicles. I've never seen one that you press a button and it comes on. You can cut it off and you can cut it on.
Okay.
But most of them are built in already where when you crank the car up, you drive it, you stop, it goes off.
Okay.
And most people push the button to cut it off.
Right.
Okay. Now, you're saying, will it wear? Well, the same starter that you're using to crank the vehicle every day is the same starter that cranks it up every time it cuts off.
Right.
So there could be some wear and tear there.
Okay.
But, you know, they're making starters. They're making those parts stronger. So you may not have as much as we think sometime.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good question to ask. And I hope you have your answer now, D. Last one. Isn't a hybrid vehicle simply a better option? This is coming from Sean Durham.
That is the best option. Going to pure electric vehicles was not a good option, but a hybrid and a gasoline vehicle engine together is the best, because if you're just driving around town, you will never, ever use the fuel, internal combustion engine.
Okay.
You know, if you're just driving a little around town, you're going to go drop all things, because usually some hybrid vehicles will get 49 to 50 miles a gallon.
Okay.
You know, and EVs are doing the same thing.
Right.
So that would be your best option. And if you know about the manufacturers right now, they're going back to more hybrids than they are EVs, because that was the smart option not EVs.
That's right. Well, today we're answering your emails to help steer you in the right direction. You can send your email to auto@mpbonline.org. This is AutoCorrect. If you've missed any of our program, you can listen to the whole show from autocorrect.mpbonline.org. AutoCorrect is heard on MPB Think Radio Thursdays at 10 a.m. with a replay Saturdays at 11 a.m. Stay tuned after the show at 11 a.m. It's Southern Remedy Kids and Teens with Dr. Morgan McLeod. I'm Jermaine Flood. Our expert is Coach Charlie Melton, ASC Certified Master Technician. It's time for Coach Charlie's Tip of the Week.
You know, as we're talking about different emails and different things that people are talking about, I think the main thing that everybody needs to understand on their vehicles themselves is maintenance. Make sure you get the job done before it gets worse, because there's so many times, like I said, we drive around with the airbag light off, we drive around with noises. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that you maintain your car. Make sure you find somebody that you can trust to help you.
Yeah. And then stop making yourself numb to those things. Like,
well,
I do.
All you gotta do is cut the radio up a little louder. You won't hear the noise.
The yellow warning light makes me feel warm inside when I see it. No.
Well, just put a piece of black tape over it. You'll be good to go.
It's nostalgic.
It's nostalgic. Yeah. It's still there.
Every time I cut my vehicle on, I can see it.
I know. It makes me feel good. No, get those checked out, y'all.
It don't make your pocketbook feel good.
Don't do what I do. Well, thanks, Coach, for that tip. Here is an email that needs a tip. This is coming from Jackie Rollins. Jackie says, I bought this new Subaru from a dealership, had all the maintenance done there before it needed for oil changes. Even bought tires better quality than normal from dealer. Just had oil change this week. I was stunned when they said I had an oil leak. Of course, I'm at 68,000 miles, so out of warranty, it cut off at 60,000. Cost for replacing the same brand of gasket is over $3,800. I had a sobering conversation with service, have claims into Subaru, checked internet, lots of complaints about gasket failure, but no recall. Who monitors recalls? Any suggestions or advice? I will trade in rather than fix the gasket, but not another Subaru. This has been my fourth. Love driving the car, but I will go with Toyota or something again next. That's coming from Jackie.
Well, Jackie
is through.
Jackie, you always got to think about this here. Older the vehicle gets, more problems you're going to have. But being out of warranty just for 8,000 miles and you had all the service done there, I would talk more, not to the dealer, but I'd talk to the customer service at the manufacturer and tell them that this is your fourth Subaru that you've owned and that you love the vehicle. And is there any way that they could give you some help? Because a lot of times they will give you free will help as the customer
service. Just to keep you in that.
Just to keep you buying
the Subarus.
The Subaru. Because like I say, if this is your fourth one, this is the one you had problems with, explain that to them, because most of them will do goodwill, but you got to be nice to customer service, and customer service can help. And, you know, manufacturer does not want bad relations on that with any customer.
Yeah. Here's the wild part. It says a 2018 Subaru. I mean, it's new.
Right. It's 5 years old. And like I say, 68,000 miles. That's what I'm saying. They'll probably help her if she just finds the right person in the customer service.
Okay. Well, Jackie, I hope that helps. Yeah. So,
if customer service don't help you, just keep going up the ladder and see if you can go to customer relationships. Just keep on going.
Okay. Well, let's get into the next one. I've got a wheel bearing email coming from Joe. Joe says, my 2001 Toyota Echo, 377,000 miles, is very loud.
What a car.
Come on.
What a car.
I thought it might be the tires. They were 5 years old, but I now have new tires and the noise has persisted. Could it be a wheel bearing? I took a 20-mile trip and all the spindles were only slightly warm. I figured the brakes would account for that. But when I rotate the tires, I push and pull on each tire while it is off the ground and I detect a tiny amount of play. Since none of the spindles are hot after a trip, I guess this is normal, but is there something more I could do to test the bearings? If it isn't a bearing, what else could be the cause of this uncomfortably loud roar while driving this massive car that's lasted for 377,000 miles?
Well, understand when you have a vehicle that has that many miles on it and wheel bearings have not been changed, most likely it is the wheel bearing. And it starts out as I always think about when an airplane's taking off a jet. It starts out little, then it gets louder and louder as you go, and then it just gets to an even hum.
Yeah.
So your real wheel bearings on there are most likely making that grumbling sound. There's really no way you can test it. You can see which one it is, but usually you have to have the brakes off of it in order so that wheel, that axle can spin freely, especially mm-hmm. if it's in the back or the front, mm-hmm. and then you can hear it.
Okay. Well, I hope that works, Joe. He's got that. I love it. 377,000 miles, and it's still driving, even though it sounds like a dump truck coming down.
Well, you know, I just got rid of my Toyota Camry that had 386,000 miles on it, and as soon as I got rid of it, the guy didn't put no water in the, no coolant in the antifreeze, and he blew it up.
Dang.
And I had it for 386,000 miles.
He wasn't ready for that kind of responsibility.
No.
And then you loved it because it had made it there.
Right. And then he lost the key to it. After 2 weeks.
How did you feel about that, Coach?
Well, I was trying to help the guy. I gave it to him for $200, and I was just trying to help the guy. And now he still has no ride. So let's just put it that way.
And Coach is mad now, Abram.
That's right.
That is a rough situation. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's just like...
It's like giving somebody an antique and then they drop the vase on the way out the store.
Right, yeah. Right.
Where are you going to get a vehicle for $200 that was in good running shape?
Only from Coach.
And then you lose the key and you let it freeze.
Yeah, man, Coach. You tried to give him a good one.
I tried.
You tried. Well, that'll wrap us up for today's AutoCorrect. Our crew engineer is Abram Nanny. Next week, like Coach said, it's all about ACs. It's getting warm. We'll be able to hit it next week. For Coach Charlie Melton, Master Technician, I'm Jermaine Flood, Episode Producer.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.